go to the slideshow. Zooming in. Now, this was the zoning map as of November 16th, 2021, when it came before the county commission. And here's the current zoning as of today. As you can see, the county commission has approved this NR3. I can go back to the previous map. Your highlighted parcel, this is in yellow, and then this is in blue. Those are the two parcels in question. That, I would turn it over to the representative.
Good morning. I'm Carl Finkenbinder on behalf of Lifestyle. The commission is very familiar with the property at this point, so I don't want to beat it up too much. It's been through both the procedural history and the property. We've been through once, and it was previously denied. We do have the Planning Commission's unanimous approval on the proposed rezoning, and again, just to repeat, our proposal is to rezone it from what is currently R3 to NR3 to allow for nightly rentals in it. The difference, probably the only main difference, at least factually, from the first time the commissioner heard it, is that, as Scott pointed out, within the development, we're now currently, half of Briarwood is currently zoned as NR3, and then the other half, which are R2 tracks, are still R3. And so we're proposing that the entire development of Briarwood there would just be consistent and all be zoned as NR3. To give you an idea so that everyone knows, we certainly aren't trying to hide the ball on what our intent is. I think, did the commission get my exhibits that I had delivered by chance? Did those make it to you all? I had some exhibits delivered to you, I think, last week. I don't know if they made it to your hands. Yes, that's it. Some different pictures. But if you don't have them in front of you, I'll kind of just go through a couple of points. What we intend on doing right now, Briarwood is made up of both what I call stacked units and a freestanding unit. It is a condominium. It is platted and as a condominium and does have a declaration that governs the regulation of that condominium. The declaration does permit nightly rental in it, but there are two different types of units within the development, both what I call stacked units and freestanding units. Our development would add, or our addition to, I should say, the development would add anywhere between 8 and 16 stacked units within the tower, I guess you will, the building there, both on the north and south wing of that building. And then on the separate track that Scott identified there to the south would consist of, we plan on currently 4 to 5 units depending on parking, different kind of stuff like that, as Scott brought up, or as the subdivision regulations were changed just this morning on parking, that may have an effect. But that is the intent of our development. I know that there had been, in previous meetings perhaps, there had been some concerns regarding parking. The proposal, I hope you have it in front of you, it does contain 23 new parking stalls. I don't know, Ms. Wyatt, or do you have that? Did you have this one here? I think it was labeled Exhibit 2. I tried to highlight all the new parking stalls that would be added to the development. And if you've been out there before, there is, and you can see it on the map there, there is parking all along the front corridor of the existing units. But there would be additional parking, 23 new stalls added into the parcel to the south. As I mentioned, if this were rezoned as NR3, it would be consistent with the current use of the property and its historical use. I know it hasn't been previously zoned as NR3. At my last hearing, I kind of explained a little bit of the procedural history with how this property developed. At least as far as I can tell, from the early 1990s up until 2007, it was a resort, a lakeside resort, and I included some aerials. I pulled some aerials to the extent you find any value in them that kind of depict what it looked like on site there from the 1990s and all the way through 2003. But the point being is that this property, this particular parcel of property, at least since the early 90s, has been used for what I would call transient guests or nightly or weekly guests that stay at a resort and go in and out of that resort. In 2006, the property was purchased and the resort was discontinued, and that's when the condominium was developed. And in 2007 was when the original developer recorded the declaration and built the condominium units. At that time, there was no such thing as a nightly rental zoning, or I don't even believe at the time there was a conditional use permit for nightly rental. Scott can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in 2007 there wasn't even a conditional use permit.
Until 2009.
Right. So there was that two-year gap between where the subdivision existed and before condominium units, or before the conditional use permits were given. And in that interim, at the inception, it's my understanding that at least, not all, but at least some of the units were used for that purpose. So I think my point in that saying that is I think that our request would be consistent with what this tract of land has been historically used as. In addition, I included some exhibits, and I know Scott could do it here. I'm not asking him to, but if you look at the surrounding uses as well, particularly, and other than Redbud, I understand what Redbud is. Redbud is just to the south of our development, and it is R3, which, while it's not nightly rental, it is R3, which is high-density development, and it is also a condominium. It's the particular use that I'm suggesting. I don't think it's completely out of character from the surrounding areas, particularly the lakefront, the entire lakefront, what looks to me at least a mile stretch running north and south, consists of C1, C3, NR3, and R3. And so I don't know that I would understand there might be a greater concern if there was a lot of R1, which is now going to, if there was a lot of R1 in that contacted this property or touched or abutted this property, but I don't, since that's not the case, I don't think that there is a wide concern there. Again, we ran through those things at P&Z, and we did, although I think it's worth noting because this does not always happen, but we did obtain unanimous approval from the commission itself, or sorry, not the commission, P&Z. There were also, I think, some of Redbud's, the last meeting I attended, not on this parcel, but when the commission did approve some of the rezoning of the other part of Briarwood. I know Redbud had some owners were raising concerns about the shared well. I have taken a look at the well agreement. One thing I would point out on the well agreement is it's a private agreement between Redbud and Briarwood, and it talks about the shared use of water, this water well, and the responsibility of costs and how it's apportioned. And as I've read it, my belief and interpretation of that agreement is that if we were building, if additional units are built in Briarwood, that would defray or reduce the cost of future requirements to the well, at least as to owners in Redbud. So to the extent they have some concerns there, that should actually help. Now, the issue of it being nightly rental is maybe a slightly different issue, but the addition of units, whether they're nightly rental or full ownership, if additional units get built onto the system, while yes, that will impact the well, meaning it will increase its need for water. At the same time, to the extent there's additional needs with the well, it would defray that cost and put more of that financial burden on the owners at Briarwood, particularly the units that we are building, if that makes sense, because it's divided pro rata. And so that would help push some of that financial burden from Redbud over to from Redbud over to Briarwood. So that might help. I think I've covered it previous hearings, kind of the other issues. I know there will be some objections to it, but I'm more than happy to answer any questions the commission has at this point. That's all I have.
Does anyone here want to come forward and speak in opposition?
Yes.
Come up to the mic and give us your name and address, please.
Yes, my name is Mike Ziga, address 1573 Lakeshore Drive. And I'm just a normal, God-fearing, law-abiding citizen, just like the other gentlemen that spoke before me. And we're concerned about the encroachment of nightly rentals on our privacy and peace. The 12 units in Redbud are residential, and we can't have nightly rentals. And what happened, like, was... all the nightly rentals are pushing our way, I'm just worried that nobody's speaking on my behalf on our 12 people who want peace and quiet. Nobody's protecting us, and I just ask that the board consider us in your decision. Now, the last time I was here to resolve this issue with nightly rentals with Lifestyle. The board voted to move Lifestyle's request onto the commission under one condition that I understood to be that Lifestyle was to update and improve our water well and to handle the increase in water volume from its present state. And then when I sat in the commission meeting, Lifestyle's rep was asked directly what he has done to improve the water well. His reply was nothing. They did nothing. They just want to get in, build their things, make the profit, and get out and put the cost on us to improve our water system. Now, nightly rental was turned down that first time. Now, on the second request for nightly rental, we're here today, and as of this minute, nothing has been done to handle the increase in volume put upon our 13-year-old system. So for nightly rental to move forward today, I expect a contract from Lifestyle stating that all the costs of improvement to our well are to be absorbed by Lifestyle. Also, all assessments of water quality, quantity, and what capacity is needed to handle the new cottages be done by no one other than the DNR. They're the experts. Our drinking water quality is essential. People's lives are at stake if we don't get this right today. So the DNR has to be involved. The water well agreement was written 13 years ago or so, long before there were visions of multifamily cottages, so it can't possibly apply to what they're asking for today. So in conclusion, we should not be required to subsidize Lifestyle's business venture because we're not seeing any of his profit. our budget won't handle the increase, and this very committee itself has asked Lifestyle